Commissioner, I'm thankful to see each and every one of you this morning. I ask for your continued prayers. I believe you have made an effort to pray for me. And if you have not, please begin now. Just ask the Lord to be with us as we look together at a portion of God's Word. Certainly thankful we have the Scriptures that we can turn to in this world to find instruction and encouragement. All that we stand in need of, because the Word of God truly furnishes us unto all good works. I just pray the Lord will lead us to a passage this morning, and that we would be faithful to share with the Lord's people the things that He would lay upon our hearts, and that it might find a lodging place, good ground on which to fall, that it might bring forth fruit. And I pray it would even be 100-fold if it's the Lord's will. That would be the case. I know that if we get anything, just a crumb from His table, we've gotten more today than what we have deserved or earned or merited in any way. So we already have been blessed to sing, to honor and praise God by song, to come before His presence with singing. The Lord truly blessed us with a sweet, humble prayer. And He's blessed our fellowship already together. Seems like there's a lot of battles going on in this world. And with me, many of them internally, where we have a warfare that we continue to have to fight in this world. The old self just hinders us in so many ways of being able to really enjoy the fellowship of the Lord and the fellowship of God's people, and our thoughts can get on the things of the world and so quickly distract us from that which is most important. I hope all of us will do our very best this morning to lay aside any weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and look to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, and try to live and walk and act and worship today in a way to truly honor God and be giving Him the praise and the honor and the glory that's due unto His name. Our life is but a vapor. It's here for a while and it soon vanisheth away. And how quickly time passes. And any time we spend wearing it makes the time long and dreary and dull and hard, and really doesn't accomplish anything. So as much as we can, let us cast all our cares upon the Lord, for He cares for us. And as we do that, don't reel them in again and try to pick them up and carry them, but rather put them in the hands of Almighty God, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask and think, and look to Him for what we need this morning. I say that to you, but I say it to myself too as I stand before you, because I've been searching diligently trying to find out the leadership of the Lord on what to talk about and speak upon this morning. My thoughts are centered around a passage of Scripture found in the Gospel of Luke. I'll read that in your hearing. I pray the Lord will just continue to stir our minds, that we again would say those things that would be above everything pleasing to Him, that would be in turn beneficial to you, His people. Luke chapter 4, we want to begin reading in about verse 14 of Luke chapter 4. The first part of Luke chapter 4 deals with the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ when the devil threw everything he had at the Lord and found himself to be no challenger at all for our Savior. Our Lord put him to shame, and all that the devil tried to tempt him with, God answered him and taught us in the way that He did that. And in verse 14, it says in verse 13, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, He departed from him for a season." And then verse 14 says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about, and He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." And if you read over in Matthew chapter 4, in the book of Matthew chapter 4, you read a little more detail about what those verses are about. Matthew chapter 4, and I think it's about verse 12. You find in verse 11, "And the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Verse 12 says, "Now when Jesus has heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time Jesus began to preach and say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought him unto the sick, brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan." And what this is really saying is that Jesus had began his public ministry, and his ministry was successful in every single sense of the word. He went about healing all manners of diseases. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He spoke with a power that no man spoke with. This man was successful from the very beginning of his life throughout the entirety of his life. And his fame had followed him as he had done those many wonderful things. There was a great following of people that followed him. And then we read in the over in Luke, it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all." And so Jesus had done a lot of things. If you read just in Luke, you go from the temptation, and then it seems like he goes right into this, into Nazareth. And you wonder, has anything taken place? And Matthew tells a whole lot has taken place. And I just think about all that Jesus did when he lived here in this world. If all the things that were written, could have been, should have been written, were written, the Bible says the world would not contain the books that could have been written about Jesus. Today we serve a wonderful, glorious, mighty, powerful Savior, who, as he walked here on the shores of time, he was a great physician, he was a prophet, he was a priest, he was a king. He wasn't just a prophet, priest, and king. He was the prophet, the priest, and the king. He was a complete and wonderful Savior. And the Bible declares that. And verse 16 says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up." And you can imagine him coming home now to where he was brought up, where he'd been raised by his supposed father, Joseph, and Mary. And he had been brought up in this community. And they knew him as Joseph's son. This is the carpenter's son. And he had been trained in the trade of being a carpenter. He'd never been trained as far as the law was concerned, or scripture was concerned, or reading and all of those things. But no man, his fame preceded him, and the wonderful things that he had done showed evidence that he was truly who the Bible says that he was. He was the Messiah. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now that's a pretty good custom, isn't it? That's one taught to us by the Lord. Now he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day because he knew what the Lord had said, that there's a day of rest that we're to come and we're to set aside for the worship of Almighty God. And we have entered into a spiritual Sabbath after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's died on the cross. But that pattern of us coming away from the cares and the troubles of this world is laid down for us in God's Word, both Old Testament and New Testament, of where we are to set aside time to worship Almighty God and to rest from the cares and the troubles of this world. And brethren, we'll be blessed when we do that, and we'll miss blessings when we fail to do that. It's important for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Jesus taught us that by his own example. And I think what a wonderful thing it would be to have Jesus as the speaker when you went to the synagogue. And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up for to read. Now, that's a wonderful thing to think about, that Jesus, he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all, and he on the Sabbath day he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, we think of a book like what I have before me, and you open the book. These were not books like that. These were scrolls rolled up, and when he opened the book, he took the scroll, and he rolled out the scroll, and they brought him, the minister that was there in the synagogue brought him the scroll, and as he opened the scroll, he didn't just happen to land somewhere. He, by the work of Almighty God, the grace of Almighty God, he was who was verily man, but who was also verily God, went to this very particular place that we have recorded over in Isaiah 61. And he said he found the place where it was written. So it wasn't just, well, I'm going to read the first thing that comes, but he went to the place where it was written. And he knew exactly where it was. Now, I love to think about this because Jesus, it didn't matter whether he read or whether he talked, everything he said was always perfect. No man has ever been like that. Everything he said was as good as Scripture. Every word that proceeded out of his mouth. This is the one who had, in the beginning, who was with God and who was God, who spoke the world into existence. Every word he spoke had power and authority. He spake like no man ever spoke. And here he was reading to them in the hometown where he was grown up, and they're looking at him thinking, this is the carpenter's son. This is Jesus. We've known him. But they didn't know who he was, even though they knew him. Isn't that true today? So many people know about him and know have heard of him. But even men who stand today and preach Jesus don't preach him as the Bible declares him to be. Listen, if we're going to talk about the Lord of the Bible, we want to talk about a Savior who isn't trying to do something or coming to try to do something or accomplish something. But he came to do a work that the Father sent him to do, and he had the power to do it. He had the ability to do it. The evidence was all around. And if we see from the evidence in Scripture and his movement in our life and in our hearts, we'll see that we're serving a great and powerful Lord. I want you today to believe and trust in a God who has all power and all might, and that as we pray and look to him, he knows exactly what we stand in need of, as the Bible teaches us. And he said this in verse 18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now look at verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Now, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, from the very beginning, he was born of his mother, Mary, but he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And so, he was in possession at all times. In Jesus, in the person of Jesus Christ, we see the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We see in Jesus, even at his baptism, we hear the voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then we see the Spirit of Almighty God coming down in the form of a dove and lighting upon him. We see that he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. We see that he received the oil of gladness above all men. He had a measure of the Spirit above all men. There was no one like this man. Listen, Jesus wasn't just one of the prophets. He is the prophet. He is not just one of the priests. He's the priest. And he's the king. And he says here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, quoting from Isaiah. And if we turn over to Isaiah, we read some wonderful language there in Isaiah 61. Here's where Jesus was reading from in Isaiah 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, why did Jesus come? Jesus came because the Spirit of the Lord sent him. And the Spirit of the Lord anointed him. And God the Father sent him. And he came in obedience to the will of the Father. And he came as the Son of Man, anointed with the Spirit of Almighty God. The Holy Ghost was with him in every single step of the way. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me. And that means the Lord gave him every word that he spoke. And of course, he was verily God. And it's wonderful to think of Jesus as the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. And as man, he had to trust and lean upon his Father, and his Father was with him in all that he did, and the presence of the Holy Spirit was always one with him. That is why in him the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. We have in Jesus a picture of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Who did Jesus come for? He came from the meek. And over in Luke, we know that is the poor. He came for the poor. Now, many of them were poor, naturally speaking. They didn't have a lot of this world's good. They were poor in an intellectual basis. They weren't too smart. Many of his children are there are not many wise. There are not many rich. There are not many that he has chosen the things that the world would consider worthless and useless. It's wonderful to think about what Jesus did. He came down to the low places and lifted them up, and he came to the high places and knocked them down. And isn't that exactly what the Lord does for us as his children? When we're high and haughty minded and think way too much of ourselves, the Spirit of the Lord knocks us down. And then when we're at that low point, the Lord reaches down to where we are in that low point, and he lifts us up, and he makes the high places low and the low places high. And that's exactly what John the Baptist came preaching and declaring. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now really, it's not just talking about the poor in a natural way. It's talking about the poor in spirit. And every preacher who preaches the gospel does it by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really the Lord that's preaching. Anytime we come together, and you know, I've heard brethren say this, said we'll have preaching if the preacher shows up. And it's not talking about the preacher who gets in the pulpit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. When we feel the Lord's presence, when we feel the Lord is delivering the message, when we feel the Lord is speaking to us through the minister and through His Word. And when that happens, It's speaking directly to you, and you get a personal message. You get a message that seems to be prepared just for you and ready just for you. And that is because the Lord knows exactly what we're standing in need of today. And brethren, we come in. I come in this morning. I feel so poor and needy. I know the words to say. I know the phrases to say. I've said them many times, but I don't want to just say them. I don't want to just stand before you and go through the motions of a sermon and just go through the words. I want to feel the realness of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has meant to me and to us in our lives. I know that He's walked with me. I know that He's been with me. I know there's been dark times when I didn't know anything and didn't know which way to go, that He's reached down and helped me out of those times and has been there in a real way. And I don't want to just go through the motions of a worship where we say things that we can't really feel in our hearts. And yet you just can't make yourself feel them. That has to come from the Lord. You have to, Lord, help me. Lord, when I'm, there's a hymn that says, when I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. I want to go higher with Thee. And brethren, when we get low in spirit, we need to cry unto the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing to know that we have a Savior who came to be one of the things that He came to do. The Lord anointed Him to do. That means the Lord sent Him to do was to find those poor and brokenhearted ones that really He's the one who made them poor and brokenhearted because He made them understand what sinners they are without the Lord. Listen, do you understand what you would be without the Lord? If the Lord had never touched your life, if the Lord had never reached down where you were, if the Lord had not ever made you alive, you and I would still be dead in our sins, and then we'd have no knowledge of God or concern about the things of God. We see men all the time in this world that apparently don't have any fear of God before their eyes because they'll say and do anything. I want to say to you, if it were not for the grace of God, that would be you, that would be me. But by the grace of God, we've been made to understand that I need the Lord. I need Him. I need Him in everything. I need Him in my family. I need Him in my home. I need Him when I had a job. I need Him in when I don't have a job. I need Him every day, every hour. I need Him right now as I stand before you in this pulpit. And I want you to know that we have the Spirit of the Lord came upon Him and anointed Him to come, and He came to preach the gospel to the poor. And this gospel was good news. What is that good news? That you who deserve hell have been promised heaven because of the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. You whose sins are so dark and so full, though our sins be as scarlet, yet shall they be as wool, though they be red like crimson. They shall be whiter than snow. You know, snow is awful white. When the Lord pours that snow from heaven down upon the earth, it can make any dirty picture look beautiful, at least until the dirt starts sneaking back up through it. But I want you to know the blood of Jesus washes our sins away. I believe in a God who prepared a place for His people, and I also believe in a God who prepared a people for the place. I believe He knew who they were. I believe He loved them in covenant. I believe that's what sent the Son of God into this world. The Father sent His Son into this world. He was anointed by Almighty God, and one of the things He was anointed to do was to preach the gospel to the poor. And when the poor have that gospel preached to them, it makes them happy. Oh, I love to find those who are brokenhearted because you can share the gospel with them. When the Lord gives you the gospel, you can share that with them. And it tells them that you've been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. That though you deserve hell, He's purchased for you heaven. And though you have no strength in yourself to do the things that you ought to do in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the ability to do all things that is pleasing unto the Lord through Christ which strengthens you. And brethren, we want to trust in Him today. How am I going to make it in this old world when I've lost so many things? It seems to be so much a strength to me in my life. I want you to know the one who came into this world, who is truly your strength, is the one who's given you all those things. And if he has shut the door on that part, there's another way. And He is that way, that He'll supply that which we need no matter what the hour and the problem and the trouble is. And we are to look to Him. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You find those who are brokenhearted. Have you been brokenhearted? You had your heart broke. And I'm not just talking about it in a natural way. I'm talking about understanding, oh Lord, I'm in trouble. I've sinned. I've come short of Thy glory. I stand before Thee, and if I have to be, if I have to stand in the last day and look to You, look to Thee, and give an answer, dear Lord, and it be accepted by You by what I've done and how I've acted and how I've talked. I've sinned and come short of Thy glory, and I do it daily. And even when I would do good, I find evil present with me. And He said this. He said, He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And when Jesus heals you, you're healed. He didn't try to heal you. He didn't want to heal you. He knows the need and He meets our needs. And to preach deliverance to the captives. And we were held captive. We were held captive to sin. Sin had its dominion in our life. We had no will to change. We had no want to change. But the Lord comes and changes. You don't want to do what you used to do. You don't want to act like you used to act. He's changed your appetite for that. And though you still have a tendency to it, it's not what you have another. If the inner man in you would lead you in another way, He set you free from that captivity that you were in. And the old devil had us all bound up, just as sure as he had that little woman in Acts chapter 16. He had that little woman in captivity and had her in bondage. And until the Lord set her free, she's continued to be in that bondage. And you and I would be in the bondage under and follow Him at His will and what He would have us to do. In order to get free of that strong man, the devil's a strong man, there had to be a stronger man to come and arrest him and hold him captive. And I'll tell you, that's exactly what Jesus did. He came to set us free from the captivity we were under in Satan. And I'll tell you also, the law held us in captivity. We were under the condemnation of the law. And there was no way we would ever get it out. There's no way we would ever do enough right to undo all the wrong that we have done. There's no way that our doing right would cause us to say, okay, now Lord, I'm good enough and I've been able to do it. Listen, there had to be one who had no unrighteousness at all. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and stood in our place. And He came to set us free, the captives, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What a glorious, wonderful day it was when Jesus came into the face of the earth, when He was born as a little babe and lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And the shepherds came and praised Him. You read all about this in Luke. It's wonderful just to read all these. You know, I tried to read from Luke 1 all the way up to this passage and this last night. And I just thought how wonderful that time was when Jesus first came here into this world. And the shepherds saw Him. And Simeon saw Him and said, I've seen the consolation of Israel. And Anna was waiting for Him as a little babe. They were then ready to go home because they had seen Jesus. Isn't it true that once you see Jesus, you're really ready to go home? I mean, you're satisfied that all is well. You see the consolation of Israel. He says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And I'll tell you, that acceptable year of the Lord is when the Lord came and we're still in that acceptable year. It's what Jesus did. I'll tell you, what Jesus did was acceptable to the Father. The Father sent Him to save His people from their sins. Jesus came and lived His life, a perfect life. Everything He did was acceptable unto the Father. When He died on the cross, that work was acceptable unto the Father. He shed His blood, and the Father received that payment for the sin debt of His people. And He washed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And the Bible says that He has now made us accepted in the Beloved. How are you and I accepted with God today in the Lord Jesus Christ? How are our praises acceptable to God today? That is in the Lord Jesus Christ. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And after reading this, He closed the book and He gave it to the minister and He sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So if we're wondering what Isaiah was talking about over in Isaiah 61 from the words of Jesus Christ, we know he was talking about himself. Jesus was speaking of himself. Not Isaiah speaking about Isaiah, but Isaiah writing by inspiration of God the words that Jesus read and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bearing witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son? Is not this the carpenter's son?" How could he read and how could he say such, as he said here, such gracious words? And verse 32 over, we'll probably get to that, but he says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." And that's the way that he spoke. And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." In other words, they were saying, "Lord, all these wonderful things that we've heard of you, do some of these here. Do some. Here's your home. Do some of these here." Except they really didn't believe that he was who he was, because they just saw him as he said here, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." In other words, he said, "This is my hometown. You know, it's something. In your hometown, the norm is, in your hometown, you're not really, they remember who you used to be. They remember who you were. They know you as who you are." I've had the opportunity to go back over to Madison. A lot of folks that I meet, you know, they heard that I was preaching, and they kind of looking for me to quit, I guess, every once in a while, because they always said to me, "You still preaching some?" And I go like, I kind of want to say, "Am I breathing?" I mean, it's almost like, because it's so much a part of me. But they didn't know that when I was growing up. All they knew was that guy that played football. And they knew that guy that I had one little fella I saw that I had coached in Little League football. And he came up to, he wasn't a little fella anymore. He had a full white beard. And he came up to me and he said, "You don't even know who I am, do you?" And I said, no, I don't. And he told me who he was. And he said, "You were the meanest football coach I ever met." He said, "You used to kick my up and down the field all the time." And he said, "You," and I said, "Well, I went on to teach." He said, "I'd hate to have had you as a teacher." He said, "Because you were the meanest man I ever knew." And I guess he looked at me and thought, "Who is this man's going to do the preaching?" And thought that. Now, that's my reputation, because that's who I am. But you see, Jesus was, I believe, the best carpenter that ever was, don't you? I believe there was no carpenter like Jesus. I believe Jesus was the best son any mama ever had. I believe Jesus was the best brother that any sister or brother ever had. I believe Jesus was the very best in all that. But yet, even he was not accepted in his own country for that which the Lord anointed him to do when he started doing the things that God had called him to do, and he began to walk in that spiritual calling that God had given him. Everything he'd always done had been that way. But even he said that no prophet is accepted in his own country. And then he really got these dear Jews upset and disturbed, because he pointed to how the Lord does. Isn't it wonderful how God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and to whom he wants to do it? And it's not up to us. We can't tell God what to do and when to do it. God works his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay his hand or say, "What doest thou?" And Jesus said, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." Remember that? Of all the, you would have thought the Lord would have taken one of those. But listen, God does what he wants to do, not what we want him to do. And God had in mind a little Gentile sister to send Elijah to bless her and to bless Elijah. And the Lord worked in that. Is our lives not filled with the providential working of Almighty God? Just open our eyes to that. Let us believe in our hearts and by faith see how God is actively moving in our lives in accord to His own will. Not what we want, not our way, but His way. And it says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the times of Elisha, And this is Eliseus, but which is Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. In other words, of all the lepers that were there in Israel, God saw fit to go to Naaman and there do a wonderful work in the life of Naaman and healing him from his leprosy. And all those dear Jews who thought the Gentiles were but dogs and who felt they were deserving of the things of Almighty God and being done in their country. He says, all day in the synagogue when they heard these things were filled with wrath. And it just amazes me how people in one minute can be so amazed at the words of Jesus and the next minute be so angry, me so upset. That's the old nature that's in us. You know, brethren, we ought to be working and laboring as hard as we can to keep the old man under. Because in one minute we're enjoying the things of God so wonderfully, and the next minute we can be doing things that are contrary to Him and be doing it seemingly just very quickly. They got so angry with Him and they rose up and they thrust Him out of the city and led Him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, and that they might cast Him down headlong. You know what they would have done if they had the power to do it? They would have taken His life. But you know, it wasn't time for His life to be taken. This tells us something. Men didn't just take Jesus when they wanted to. They took Him when He allowed them to. The devils couldn't do anything with Him unless He suffered them to exist and be here for whatever His reason, His purpose. And when He's finished with them, they're under His control. Listen, He speaks and it stands fast. Today we're living in a world that sometimes seems to be out of control. Don't think for a minute that our Lord is not on His throne and in control. And He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And you and I can continue to trust in Him and should do that. And He says, and when they would have cast Him down headlong, look at verse 30, but He passing through the midst of them went His way. Now I don't know how He did that. You know, He could have done it by them just being invisible and walked right through them. Or He could have done it in such a way that they couldn't have touched Him no matter what. And He could have done it in it. You know what He did? He did it His way, and that was the right way. And it's wonderful to have that kind of God. It also tells us the only time they could have come and took Him, and when they did, was when He gave His life. That's why men did take Him, but He gave His life freely. He came to do that. That's what the Lord had anointed Him to do. And He came down to Capernaum in a city of Galilee and taught them on the Sabbath day after He just walked right through the crowd, and they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. And listen, you won't find one single verse in the Bible that talks about a weak Jesus. You hear that a lot in the world. You hear about a Lord who would like to do something that He can't get done, who's tried to do something He couldn't accomplish. But I'll tell you, the Lord we believe in is the one who went to the cross. And there at Calvary, after His blood had been shed and He had been nailed to the tree of the cross, and He'd suffered great agony and pain, the wages that is of sin, that is death, was passed upon Him, and He bore the day of vengeance, He said, of our God. This is the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. When was the day of vengeance? The wrath of God was poured out upon the darling Son of God, the sin that I had committed and the payment that needed to be made for me. Jesus bore that, and for all of His elect children on the tree of the cross, the wages of sin was paid for there by the Lord Jesus Christ for His people. And of course, there's a day of vengeance waiting those who were not involved in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that don't belong to Him. But for God's little children, I'm telling you, your judgment was made there at the cross, and the price that you owed was paid in full by the Lord, and He has now set us free because of what He has done for us at Calvary. And you and I can rest in that wonderful finished work of the Lord. He said, "It is finished." And that work is finished. The work that He came to do. And brethren, we can trust and lean upon Him. And I do appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.